Would you take your Bibles, please, and go to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. How many worked today? Who worked? How many commuted today? How many cussed while you're commuting? No, don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. I'm just making sure you're awake. Galatians chapter number 5. I saw Brother Weaver raise his hand though over there. And Galatians chapter 5. Let's all stand together. We're going to read just a few verses. And I appreciate my family and I have been here now three months and a few days. And we've just enjoyed it so much. And we have such a wonderful church family, don't we? So welcoming. I said, we have a wonderful church family, don't we? So welcoming and loving to our family, and we're just grateful to be here and get to serve with you in some exciting days. Galatians chapter number 5, if you'll go down to verse number 16, I'm going to read just a few verses down through verse 23. My message title tonight is The Effects of Fruitful Living. And In my life, I want to bear fruit in my life. I want my life to bear fruit, but I recognize that in my flesh, that's not going to happen. I need the Spirit of God to work in me. How many recognize that tonight? If we're going to have any kind of fruit in our life, we need the Spirit of God. Amen? And that's what this passage is about. And so let's read verse 16. The Bible says, "This I say then," Paul is, of course, writing here, "walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness," verse 20, "idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's number one. Then joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Father, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. Lord, thank you for our church. Thank you for a pastor, Lord, who believes in a midweek service, and we can come together and worship you in song and also be encouraged through your word. We do pray for our pastor as he teaches the grief class, and what's taking place over there, I'm sure, and we're sure, is a tremendous blessing to those hearing it. We pray for him tonight as he speaks at that. I pray for this room tonight, Lord, as the word of God is preached. Lord, I pray that your word would move throughout this room. And Lord, all of us today had a busy day, I'm sure. Many here are tired. They've commuted. They've rushed in tonight. Maybe didn't even get a bite to eat, but they're here. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you would work in our hearts. And Lord, even if we could just take one thing away from your word tonight that will help us in our life, we pray that you would help us with that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Here in Galatians, we see Paul the writer, who obviously is deeply concerned about the believers he's writing to. Galatians was written to a group of churches and a bunch of different believers. And as you read the different chapters of Galatians, you can see how Paul is concerned about their Christian walk. He is concerned that these believers are going to turn away from what they've learned from their salvation. They're going to, false teachers were coming in, and they were going to turn away from that and go away from what they've been taught by Paul. And how many of you have ever led somebody to the Lord, or maybe you were discipling someone, and they had a Jehovah Witness or someone come to their door, and they text you or call you, and you become concerned about the things that they're telling them? How many of you have this ever happened to you? This happened to me just the other day. And I said, hey, you don't need to talk to them. You don't need to go down that road with them. But Paul here is concerned about these believers, about them turning away, and he wants them to stand fast, and he wants them to continue to grow in their faith. And so we get to chapter number 5, and Paul really goes after this thought of walking in the Spirit and not obeying the lusts of the flesh, not living their lives according to their own desires, and not just doing whatever they feel like doing, but actually walking in the Spirit of God. And so that the Spirit of God, Paul knew this, and we know this, that the Spirit of God is who bears that spiritual fruit in our life. If it was up to my flesh, there would be no spiritual fruit. And how many of you would agree in your life, if it was up to your flesh, there'd be no spiritual fruit at all? About three of you raised your hand. Let's try that again. How many of you, there'd be no fruit at all? Amen? And I ask you to raise your hand a lot in church. I just want to make sure everyone's awake. Amen? Tonight I brought with me my son hid this very, very well actually behind. How many noticed this tree before I mentioned it? But I brought with me tonight a little tree, and boy, prices have gone up. This is a $34 illustration right here. Amen? I'm taking it back tomorrow, Brother Rasmussen, Dr. Rasmussen. And I got this tree, and how many of you, maybe some of you in the front rows or middle section that know a little bit about trees, how many of you know what kind of a tree this is? Anybody know what kind of a tree this is right off the bat? Does anybody know? Nobody wants to guess out loud in front of everyone, but raise your hand if you think you might know. I won't call on you, but you think you might know what it is. How many think you might know? A couple of you. How many know that this is a fruit tree? How many guess that because of my message, right? One plus one. This is a fruit tree, and I bought it today to bring tonight. I might plant it. I might take it back. I haven't decided yet. But this fruit tree represents what a lot of Christians walking around represent. They have Christ in their life. They are saved. They're on their way to heaven. They have the Spirit of God in them. But like this twig, if you will, there's not a lot of fruit in their life. There's not a lot of spiritual fruit. And this tree, I mean, it's and by the way, this is an apple tree. And some of you might be able to tell that if you saw the leaves, if you got close to it. But from a little bit farther away, you can't tell what kind of a tree it is, can you? Because there's no what? If there was fruit on the tree, you'd be able to say, that's an apple tree. That would be easy for you to see. But since you can't see any fruit, most of us tonight would have a hard time guessing what kind of a tree this is. If there's one thing I know for sure tonight, it's that every single Christian in this room struggles with their flesh. How many would just be honest and agree with that tonight? And that's what Paul says here. He says our flesh and our spirit are like this constantly. And it doesn't matter if you've been saved for a year or you've been saved for 50 years. You never get to the point where you're not fighting against your flesh. We all struggle with our flesh, and we all, most of us tonight, prayerfully, most of us here, want to please the Lord in our life. We want to have fruit in our life. And so my simple question tonight for you is, how does your tree look tonight? How does your tree look? Is your life full of spiritual fruit, branches so full it's bowing low to the ground, loaded with love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all the things that Paul mentions, faith? Or are we, if we take an honest look at our tree, are we a little bit barren tonight? Are we in our life struggling with some things? Maybe we don't have that joy that the Holy Spirit produces like we used to. Maybe, matter of fact, maybe we came to church tonight and we're really struggling. We didn't really want to come. We didn't really feel like being here, and we're really struggling in our ministry, and we're really struggling with some things because we just don't have that fruit like we used to have. Maybe the building program came around this time of year, and in years past, boy, you had that faith, and you gave in faith, and you were excited about giving, but this year, that faith wasn't quite there, that fruit. And by the way, that fruit is not in us. The power to produce that is not in us. That's all in the Spirit of God. But how does your tree look tonight? We like to blame our lack of fruit on external circumstances. The lack of fruit is because I'm busy. And the lack of fruit is because I have a difficult life or a difficult job. My lack of fruit is I don't love like I used to love because people are unlovely, you know, and whatever. We try to blame these things, but the truth is at the end of the day, we have a lack of fruit for one reason. We're not walking in the Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't that the truth? We're just not walking in the Spirit. And I understand we go through difficult things and circumstances in life. One day after I preached a message, this was years ago, I preached a message, and it was a message on prayer. And this was Sunday morning. I was standing outside of the front door, and I'm shaking hands. And this lady came through, and she was probably mid-70s. And she came through the line, and she said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. So she pulled me aside, and she said, I have this problem and this problem. And she listed five or six major problems in her life. And she said, I just don't know what to do. She said this to me, Brother Cox, she said, tell me what to do. And that's not a good question to be asked because we don't know what to do. She said, tell me what to do. And I just said to her, I said, I just preached a message on prayer. And I said, I believe every answer to your problem is prayer. Now, how many would agree with that? Amen. Four or five of you. How many would agree with that? Prayer is the answer. And I said, I believe it's prayer. And she goes, well, pff. And she goes, I could pray till I'm blue in the face and it won't do any good. And she walked away. And I think that's the approach a lot of Christians take towards bearing fruit in our life is we think, well, I could read my Bible till I'm blue in the face. I could pray till I'm blue. I could go to church. But really, it's the simple things that we get back to bear fruit in our life. What are the effects in our life of fruitful living? What happens when we start to see spiritual fruit in our life? What are the effects of that? And that's really where the message lies tonight. And let me tell you number one tonight. Let me give you number one, and then we'll hurry on here. Number one, fruit manifests our identity. Fruit manifests our identity. The works of the flesh manifest something. Paul says, when we have our works in the flesh, look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are what? One more time, look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. When we're working in the flesh and we're doing things in the flesh, there's a manifestation of that. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious, and he goes on. Hatred, variance. These are all characteristics that the word manifest means to be exhibited or displayed. This is what is displayed out of our life or manifested out of our life when we're doing things in the flesh. Now, how many of you have ever done something in the flesh and you manifested something that you didn't want to manifest? When we work in the flesh, we manifest things in the flesh. And these are terrible things that our flesh manifests. And the good news is this. The Spirit of God in us, if you're saved tonight, if you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior and you're saved tonight, the Spirit of God produces in us fruit. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice, the fruit of the who? Spirit. Not the fruit of our flesh or our actions, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. This is good news because I get frustrated with myself because I didn't do something the way I wanted to, or I said something I shouldn't have said, or I did something I shouldn't have done. But the fruit inside that comes from the Holy Spirit of God manifests itself as love, joy. But the fruit, notice this, it identifies the tree. The fruit of the tree represents the tree's DNA. When we live our lives and we exhibit and demonstrate fruits of the Spirit, who are we identifying with? Christ. And just like I held up this tree a few minutes ago and I said, who knows what kind of tree it is? Most of us didn't want to guess because we're not sure. When there's an apple on this tree, if there was a beautiful green apple on this tree, you'd say, well, that's an apple tree. And just like this tree, if it had fruit, if you and I tonight had fruit in our lives, when we have the fruit of love and we have that fruit of the Spirit of joy, and we have that fruit of the Spirit of goodness and long-suffering, when those fruits of the Spirit come out, who do we identify as? What does that manifest our identity as? We are Christ's. And what does it mean when I'm not manifesting those things? A few years ago, my family and I, we moved into this home, and it had about an acre or so. And my wife and I, we love gardens. How many like to plant a garden? Why do we live in Lancaster? I mean, but you like gardens, and how many like fruit trees and all that kind of stuff in the backyard? And my wife and I went, we bought some fruit trees. I think we bought about 30 or 40 fruit trees, and we went out there, we planted them all, and Brother Hauk, we love those trees. I mean, you pour your life into that stuff, And I carefully dug the right hole and I put it all there and I got the drip lines and I installed them and I tweaked them so that it was just getting enough water and I watched as about a year went by and those trees were starting to really, we pruned them just right and I had a guy come show me how to do it. We really took our time with these trees. I wanted, and we bought apricots and cherries and we had a fig tree and we had avocado. I mean, we had everything you could think of and we had all these trees. And we were so excited about these trees. Now, these trees didn't have tags on them. We took the tags off because my wife's pretty good at telling what's what. But you can only tell by the leaves, and hopefully someday the fruit would come. We would know. We should have left the tags on. We went on vacation for a couple weeks. I think we were in Israel. I don't remember where we were, but we went on vacation. And while we were gone, I had a crew coming. They were feeding our goats, and they were feeding the animals, and they were watering stuff. And one of the guys left the gate open where the goats stay. How many of you have ever had goats? How many of you have ever gotten rid of goats for a reason? Amen. He left the gate open. Well, we came home. I walked into the backyard, and I saw one of the goats standing in the garden bed looking at me, and I thought, this is not good. And I began walking around, and they took every tree that was in our little orchard there. They literally ate it down to about this much. I mean, about a foot off the ground. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of trees. They ate all the leaves. They ate all the sticks. They ate them almost to the ground. And I walked in that backyard, and I thought, that's it. They're all dead. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe they ate all those trees. Those trees went from identifiable trees. They had leaves. They were growing. They were flourishing. And something came in and just, and you know, in the life of a Christian, oftentimes the devil comes in and he eats at us. And he destroys what the progress that the Lord is making. And oftentimes the world and the flesh and all those things can really eat you down to nothing. How many have ever been there before? But in the life of a Christian, we need to recognize that we're known by our fruits. If there's no identifiable fruit in our life, how do people know that we're Christians? You know, if you go to work, and I don't mean to meddle here tonight, but if you go to work and you're rude to all your coworkers, how do they know you're a Christian? If you're driving down the freeway and you know, you get angry and you're yelling out the window or doing whatever, and I'm just simply saying that I want to identify as a Christian. That's a good spot to say amen. I want to identify with Christ. I want people to know I'm a Christian. I want people to see that fruit. And I'm not talking about my good deeds. That has nothing. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about joy in my life. Man, we come to church. Some of us come to church and act like it's the worst thing in the world. We ought to have joy in our life when we come to church. Amen. And sing like, man, we sing those songs tonight. We ought to be singing. And I appreciate there's a brother over here I was watching. He was leading the music as they're singing. I mean, just joy. There's joy coming out of them. And that's the way we ought to be. Did you know the Bible says, whether we like it or not, our fruits identify us? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their what? And by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." Matthew 7, verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And I know this is talking about false prophets, but if you are a good tree, you're going to have good fruits. Do you ever meet a Christian that doesn't have good fruits? I mean, they're just a turkey, amen? They're just grumpy all the time. Hey, I just don't think there ought to be grumpy Christians. Maybe once in a while, amen? Maybe once, like when you go to In-N-Out and the line's too long. You know what I'm talking about? But not every day. Not every time you're talking to somebody. I'm just saying, Christians, we ought to have that fruit. John 13, 35, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." How? If ye what? Love one another. We show the world that we are his disciples by the fruit of the spirit of love. When we love others, Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And we want to identify with Christ. Have you ever met a Christian who says they're a Christian but doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit in their life? I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be a twig Christian, amen? So what are the effects of fruitful living? First of all, the fruit will manifest our identity. It'll show us who we are. Let me give you number two. Fruit will then measure our increase. Fruit measures our increase. As our fruit will manifest to others our identity in Christ, the fruit will also measure for us inside of us. It'll show us where we're at. I just believe that Christians ought to be growing. How many believe the Bible teaches that? How many believe the Bible teaches that? We should never get to the point, well, I've arrived. I'm a pretty good-looking tree. No, we ought to always be growing. Fruit measures that increase. Look at verse 16 back in Galatians chapter number 5. Look at verse 16. Look at what Paul says. "This I say then," what? Walk in the... So if I'm going to say no to the flesh, And I'm going to say, yes, I need to walk in the Spirit so that I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh, it lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another. So you cannot do the things that you would. I have a picture for you tonight, and I'm going to show this picture, and it's going to send dread straight to your core. So I'm just preparing you for this picture. Are you ready? Is everybody okay? Go ahead and show the picture. How many have ever seen this before? I just got in my car. I wrote this message. This is how the Lord works. The Lord says, you're going to live your message. And so I got into my car literally this morning, and all these bells start going off. Your mitigation thing is wrong, and this and that is all these things are wrong. But if you get into your car and you turn it on, and this little, for some of you that just getting your driver's license or don't know car mechanics, this is not a good thing, amen? This isn't telling you that, yay, your engine is working great. No, this is a bad thing. This is telling you that there's something wrong. And some of us, we see this check engine light come on, and our first reaction is we're looking for a black Sharpie marker, amen? Just kind of fill it in so you can't see. The truth is that the light is not the problem. The light is an indication that there is a problem. And in our life, a lack of fruit indicates something going on inside of us. Some Christians aren't walking in the Spirit, but they want to have a show of fruit, and so they try to tape on plastic fruit onto their tree. They try to borrow fruit from other people. They try to put forward a good show. And I mean, I grew up in church. I mean, I was a preacher's kid. I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. My entire high school life, I was plastic fruit. I mean, I was fake as it could be. How many have ever been there? Just fake. And some Christians, they don't walk with the Lord, and I've been there too. We don't walk with Christ like we should, or we're not walking in the Spirit. And so we try to put forward this kind of a, but the problem is the fruit, this outward show, this is not solving the problem that's inside. If I'm struggling with my joy, if I'm struggling with my love, if I'm struggling with forgiveness, if I'm struggling with faith, if I'm struggling with long-suffering and with goodness, if I'm not having the fruit of the Spirit in my life like I should, then there's something, that's an indication. I'm not walking in the Spirit. You cannot force fruit on a tree. You cannot fake fruit. Fruit only is produced, genuine fruit is only produced when the tree receives what it needs. When the tree gets what it needs, the fruit naturally is produced. What does a tree need? A tree needs what? It needs water. What else? Sunlight. It needs sometimes fertilizer. It has certain needs, and if the tree gets sun or if it gets water, it gets what it needs, then there's going to be this natural process of fruit. And Paul says to these believers, think about these believers in Galatia. He's worried about them, about walking away from their faith. He's worried about them, their hearts being turned away from false prophets and following after their flesh. He knows that there's an awesome life in Christ, and he doesn't want them to walk away from that. He wants them to keep walking towards Christ and growing. And he says, listen, walk in the Spirit. Just walk in the Spirit. If you'll just learn to walk in the Spirit, you'll see these things. You'll see joy, and you'll have love, and you'll have these things that your heart really desires. The fruit of the Spirit is produced when we get what we need. The fruit of the Spirit cannot be produced by my flesh. I can't do it. Our spirit inside of us, the Spirit of God, is what produces the fruit. Take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 15. Would you go there? You can hold your place in Galatians and go to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter number 15, and many of you know this probably by heart, and you've heard it many times, but it really illustrates the point. Jesus says in verse 1 of chapter number 15 of the Gospel of John, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit, notice, of itself. In and of ourselves, we can't do it, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. How many have learned that in your Christian walk? Without Christ, I can do nothing. Brother Cox, you're a pastor. How many times do you get up to preach, and we realize that without God, we can do nothing? I mean, our sermon just kind of rolls out of us onto the floor, and it gets vacuumed up later that day. That's our flesh. Only the Spirit of God can produce the fruit. We need the resource if we want the result. We need the resource. You say, man, my joy meter is way down here. You need the resource. Man, I'm having a hard time loving my coworkers. You need the resource. I'm having a hard time loving my husband. And all God's ladies said, amen, right? You really need the resource, amen? If we want the results, just like water is necessary to the tree, we need the rivers of living water, amen? Just like the fruit needs its proper nutrition, the fertilizer, we need the nutrition of the Word of God. We must submit to Christ, and we must allow all the impulse of the Spirit of God to control us. And when the Spirit of God works through us, that's where the fruit comes from, that identifiable, valuable fruit, the desirable fruit that comes out of a Christian. That's all produced not by us, but by the Spirit of God. Now, let's just be honest tonight. How many of you have ever felt disappointed with your tree? How many of you ever feel disappointed with your tree? Amen? I often feel disappointed with my tree. I often feel like this poor guy right here. There's good news tonight. As we just read, the Bible so clearly teaches, the tree does not bear fruit of itself. It's not up to us to produce the fruit. All we need to do is tap into the resource. Christ does all the heavy lifting. You ever had somebody in your life that was unlovable that Christ helped you love? And it was easy to love them, not because of you, not because of them, but because of Christ. Have you ever had a big step of faith that you had to make and you knew in yourself, you didn't have what it took to take that step of faith, but Christ did the heavy living in you and the Spirit of God helped you take that step of faith, and then you realize, wow, God really helped me with that. And this is what is so awesome about having the Spirit of God not around us or somewhere that we got to find or conjure. No, the Spirit of God is in us. And He produces that fruit in us. Some of us are working so hard to see fruit. And of course, we should work hard. Amen? But we get tired and exhausted, and then there's no fruit to speak of. Perhaps the lack of fruit is an indication we're out of sync with the Spirit. We're out of sync with the Spirit of God in our life. We're trying to do this, we're trying to do that, and there's nothing wrong with working hard and all that, but maybe we're just out of sync with the Spirit of God. And this is what Paul is trying to teach these Christians. You say, Brother Delzell, that's me. I feel like I'm out of sync. I'm going to church, but I'm struggling. To be honest, I feel like that little twig up there. I feel like that tree. I feel like I don't have peace in my life. I feel like I don't have love flowing out of me. I don't have the long suffering. I don't have the meekness. I don't have the faith. And by the way, nobody has all of that all the time. Amen. But maybe you just feel like you're struggling tonight. The answer, I believe, to that is found in verse 18. Notice what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. Some of you aren't there, but I'll read it to you. The Bible says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. I believe this is the key right here. If ye are led of the Spirit. We know that if the Spirit leads us, that's where the fruit comes from, is when the Spirit is leading us. Is the Spirit leading you tonight? Is He leading you? What are the effects of fruitful living? The fruit will manifest our identity. It'll show who we are. We identify with Christ. Fruit will measure our increase. It'll show how we're doing. Are we growing in Christ? And then the last thing is this. When we're letting the Spirit lead us, fruit multiplies. Fruit multiplies in the Spirit. If we want to have fruit on our tree, we have to allow the Spirit to lead us. How many of you have learned in your Christian life, your Christian walk, you cannot manipulate fruit, you cannot manufacture fruit? You just can't do it. You can try, you can take the steps, but at the end of the day, we cannot fake fruit. We cannot force fruit. We must be led by the Spirit if we want to have fruit in our lives. Now, I know most Christians in the room tonight would like to see more fruit on their tree. How many would say, Pastor, Brother Delzell, excuse me, I'm used to saying pastor, I got to get over that. How many say, Brother Delzell, in my life, I'd like to see more fruit in my life. How many like to see that? All right, most in the front row, some in the back, you don't think I can see you, but I can. How many say, I would like to have more fruit in my life. I'd like to have more fruit. All right, you have to raise your hand because I pointed you out. So most of us would. We would like to see that. And I believe that most Christians do. They want to have more fruit. And so at the end of the sermon here, I just want to give you three practical ways that we can see more fruit in our life. This is very practical, and most of you know this. It's a reminder. But number one, how about this? Number one, separate from sin's destruction. Separate from sin. Paul said in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul is saying to these Galatian Christians, he's saying, run from sin. How many have learned that sin is destructive? How many have seen somebody destroy their life because of sin? Sin is a destructive force beyond anything our imagination can conjure. Sin is one of those things you can try to hide it, you can try to cover it, you can try to put it somewhere that nobody can see, but God sees and the Spirit of God knows, and you can't hide sin. And so the best thing to do with sin is to confess it and forsake it and to flee it, amen? Get away. And some of you college students, listen in the room, you might have some sin in the background. You think nobody knows about this. Maybe a young man in the room, maybe a married man in the room, maybe someone else in the room, but you have a sin in your life. Listen, the Spirit of God is grieved by that sin, and God is grieved by our sin. We can't hide it. By the way, we're all sinners. And we all struggle with the flesh. But we need to confess that sin and forsake it and just flee it. Get away from it. I mean, if you have sin tonight, tonight's the night to say, you know what? I'm done with this sin. I'm done with it. So you want to have more fruit? You got to get rid of the sin. And all God's people said, amen. I mean, if you want to have fruit, you got to get rid of the sin out of your life. You got to get rid of the sin. Separate from sin's destruction. Can you see Paul pleading with the Galatians? Listen, don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Don't follow your flesh. Flee sin. And then number two. Oh, by the way, Paul says to Timothy, he says, flee also youthful lusts. I mean, get away from it. Number two, submit to the Spirit's direction. So flee sin's destruction, but submit to the Spirit's direction. But if you be led of the Spirit, man, in our lives, the Spirit of God is constantly, at least if you're a Bible-believing Christian tonight and you have the Holy Spirit in your life and you're a saved, blood-bought Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit, doesn't the Holy Spirit speak to you? How many say the Holy Spirit speaks to me? He says, no. Man, you get in your car and you're feeling kind of down, you're feeling whatever, and you want to listen to that old music that you used to listen to. Come on, somebody help me now. And you go to turn on that radio, you're going to listen to Dr. Dre or whatever it is. And you go to turn it on, and the Holy Spirit of God says, no. Submit to the Spirit's direction. No, I'm not going to do that. Maybe some friends invite you out. You know, when those friends invite you out, things happen there that shouldn't happen, you shouldn't be involved with. And the Spirit of God says, you shouldn't go there. You shouldn't do it. And the Spirit of God speaks to us. Submit to the Spirit's direction. And it's a positive, too. Well, you see somebody at the gas station, the Spirit of God says, hand them a gospel tract. Submit to the Spirit's direction. Your pastor comes to you or a ministry leader says, hey, we need help, and can you help? And you know you can help, and you know you have the time, but you just don't feel like it. And the Spirit of God says, you should really help. You should really get involved. You should really serve. And you say, yeah, I just don't. I would rather just go home, and I would rather not be involved. No, submit to the Spirit's direction. You want to have fruit, you got to submit to the Spirit's direction. Jesus said in John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of God in us guides us into all truth. The Spirit of God in us guides us if we submit to him. You cannot have the fruit of the Spirit without submission to the Spirit. And then the last step here. So let's flee sin, right? Let's get away from sin's destruction. I want to have more fruit. Then get rid of the sin. Submit to the Spirit's direction. And then lastly, study the Scripture's directives. The Scripture has everything we need, all the instructions that we need to bear fruit. When my wife and I planted those fruit trees, I read the instructions, how deep they're supposed to be, how all these different things. All trees are different. If you want to have fruit, the Word of God has the instruction. And all God's people said, amen. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible is God's inspired word given to us. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of us. So we have the inspired word of God right here in our hands. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. We have the Holy Spirit of God directing us. We have the word of God instructing us. What do we have everything that we need to grow, to bear that spiritual fruit. But study the Scripture's directives. Without the Scriptures, without the Spirit of God, our tree is going to be barren. Without the Spirit of God, without the sunlight of the Spirit, without the water of the Word, without the fertilizer of the Spirit directing us, without the things, the resources, we're going to be barren Christians. We're going to be like this. We're going to be coming in, and I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit. I'm talking about no love, no peace, no joy, no faith. I mean, no long suffering. We're going to be dragging in and like a twig Christian. Amen. So tonight, let me ask you a question. If you brought a tree with you tonight, and that tree represented your spiritual life, and you had that tree with you, and you just kind of set it next to your seat there, what would it look like? What would it look like? Would that tree represent a life full of spiritual fruit, full of love, full of long-suffering? Would it be a life that the fruit is abounding? Would the branches be a little bit bare in your life? Now, I have some encouragement for you, and then I'm going to close. You ready for some encouragement? Are you ready for me to close? Amen. Yes. Remember those trees that those goats ate down to nothing? Remember those trees? I just told the story, so you should. Amen. Let me just give you a little bit of encouragement. Those goats ate those trees down to nothing. There wasn't a green nothing on those trees. There was nothing. Most of them were just eaten down. But you know what? We left the roots in the ground. We left those. I couldn't bring myself to dig them out. So we left them. Several months went by. We just kept watering them, kept watering. And guess what we saw? We saw growth coming out of those little trees again. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel like one of those Christians. The devil's just, I mean, he's chewed you down to nothing. You know what? If you will submit yourself to the Spirit and start walking in the Spirit tonight, tomorrow, you'll start to see that grow again. You'll start to see God working in your life again. And guess what? The joy will start to come back. And that love for others that you've been longing for, that love for others will start. And that faith will start to come back if you'll just submit yourself to the Spirit and you'll just walk in the Spirit.